Blog Talk Radio.
You got Brenda Bradshaw, psychic, soul card reading, right now, Blog Talk.
It seems life was losing all its fun, always loving on the run. There was nothing to be done with you. Turn my whole thing around, get myself up off the ground. Come to these arms, I want to embrace you. You are my lady, I'll never replace you. Oh, Brenda, my Brenda, I'm thinking about your love.
About receiving, cooperation, forgiveness, and agreement. There are six decks. You get to pick each one of those decks as your story unfolds. In the cards, I concentrate and I listen inside of myself to the Holy Spirit telling me the interpretation. This show is not like any other show. Thank you so much for joining the show. Thank you for your patience as we go through and do a reading for someone. They may have gotten readings from other shows, but they didn't get this kind of reading. 347-838-8452. This is Brenda Bradshaw. We're doing the readings, messages from the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for all your love and all your support.
I'm thinking about your love. You're all that I'm dreaming of.
good evening. It's Sunday night, and tonight we're talking about the card nature. That's the one I pulled. And that, you know, that's a very broad area, but we're going to kind of go in and talk about how nature is very important to our spiritual life. Now, I know that everybody knows it, but do they really practice? Do they really get into nature and have nature a part of their life? That would be a good question. So the lesson tonight is plant yourself by the stream of life. My goodness, plant yourself by the stream of life. I mean, are you a plant? Well, yes, you are. You are seeds, and you are definitely a growing thing. You need everything that nature has to offer. So I guess you could plant yourself by the stream of life. The stream of life. Isn't that interesting? So we do have a caller, so we'll just take our caller for tonight and see what's going on with them and see where they're planting their self. I've talked about energy before. I always want to talk about energy. 951, good evening, and what's going on with you, your life tonight?
Hello, Brenda, it's Nathaniel. Happy New Year.
No, Nathaniel, Happy New Year to you. Yes, I have taken a little short run here, pushing this button here, and hoping that I had two surgeries, Nathaniel.
Oh, boy.
And evidently it slowed me down a little bit, but I still got the spirit going inside me. Physically, it's been hard coming back, but spiritually, I think you're still strong. What do you think?
I'm still strong, or you're still strong?
I hope you're still strong.
that I'm still
I hope
strong,
we're both still strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that you are out there running the blog talks, and I'm sure you go to a lot of shows. The Happy New Year to you is just to continue with your spiritual life, because you do the spiritual life. That's your lifestyle, isn't it, honey?
Yeah. Really.
So you're
really
kind of like looking up. You want to be around people like that, which is the planting of your life. You know, actually, you don't have to plant it by a water stream, but the stream of life is basically spirituality. So when I say plant yourself by the stream of life, that could mean do it spiritually, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm glad to hear that that's what you're doing this year, and you did it last year, and you'll continue to do it because that's who you are. You make a choice to do that. You know, people are listening here, and they're saying, what kind of choices does Nathaniel make? Oh, he makes big choices, not little ones. You're always making the big ones, right?
Well, how are you doing? Are you walking around now, or?
Yeah, it's kind of difficult. I'm using a walker, and I'm still a little shaky. And yeah, I'm going to the foot doctor, and the foot doctor is trying to take care of my feet because I had so many problems with my feet, and that kind of took me off my feet for a while. But right now, that's where I'm headed, working more to get my balance back, my strength and my balance. And doing these shows really, you know, keeps me going, you know, basically because I have to say to myself, okay, Brenda, it doesn't have anything to do with your walking. You get in there, you sit down at that chair, and you open up that show. Because everybody that calls in, you know, to my show, they give me so much encouragement, which I'm sure you're going to do.
Well, of course, of course.
You're here to encourage, aren't you?
Of course.
Oh, good. All right. Well, I'll encourage you to continue your path, and you can encourage me to continue my path. That's what we do for each other. We lift each other up, and I think that's beautiful. Let me just say, I see a paper, like a contract around you. Are you interested in this paper I'm looking at?
Yeah.
Psychically. It's like a contract.
Yeah. What could it be?
Well, it's a contract that has something to do with money, of course. There's finance involvement, but it's also movement of doing something like a business moving into a situation where you're going to spend more money than you thought you were going to spend this year. But that's not the important part. The important part is that you have to move on this contract because it's a very good contract. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's a piece of paper.
I'm not exactly sure, but, you know, I've actually had a surgery as well. I had colon cancer. And I used to take a lot of Zantac, and they took it off the market. And so I started a lawsuit with Zantac.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
They just took it. So I don't know if that's a piece of paper, you know.
Yeah, that's it. It's a piece of paper. You really did good by getting into that contract. See, that was something that you needed to do, and a lot of people would shy away from it. But it shows here that that's going to move you in a new area of your life, you know, to be able to accept that money, because it's definitely going to be money that's involved. And it's going to be good money, and that's what the contract was all about. So thank you for telling me exactly what I was seeing.
Yeah. So I've been off work for 3 months now, and they just put me on the inactive work at Lyft. At work, they put me on the inactive list. So,
well, you needed
to
do that little resting point.
Yeah.
You know, like me with my condition, I needed to do what I needed to do also, because the people that are involved with all of this are learning from us how we react to it. I want to tell you that. There's people around us, and I've got people around me that are reacting to me. And I'm not a very good person as far as, I'm going to tell you, letting people help me. And that's the lesson that I'm learning. And there's a lesson in everything. You do know that, right? There's a lesson in everything that we do.
It's so amazing, you know, how God made all these different people, you know, different ways and stuff, and he all knows how to work together. I was watching some of the Christian programming with Sid Roth, and I guess he's got this new guy. Have you heard this new guy named Tom Cook?
No, but I love Sid Roth. I love Sid Roth.
Yeah, well,
so what does Tom do?
Show. On September 5th, he had a show, and this guy talks to the angels, and he tells everyone their name, address, and birthday. He just
angels.
And then the angels are just telling him everything, and he just is able to listen to it. And I thought that was pretty amazing, you know.
It is amazing.
He was so right on that. He could tell you their phone number. I mean, he told you the name, the birthday. I mean, he could tell you their social security number if he wanted to, you know. But
information is available. Let's look at that. Okay?
Okay.
It's available, but tapping into the information, whatever you use, there's a tool. Okay. And my tool is the cards, and his tool maybe be the angels, and there might be other people with astrology. And everybody has some kind of tool that helps them to tap into this universal energy. Edgar Casey used to go into a trance, and a lot of psychics do that. But there's a lot of different information out there, and it just depends on what tool you want to use. You know, I'm not going to yell at somebody or criticize somebody for using a tool, because that's the tool that they get. You never know what they're going to pick up. You never know. You never know how God's going to reach you. You see, you do understand that. So
he
there's people out there that are highly. That's right. You never know. So that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing that people are using angels or cards or if they want to use Ouija boards, whatever their tool is, you know, they're using God. That's what they're doing. They're using a tool because God provided the tool. That's how that works. God created the tool. So how could it not be from God? Everything is from God. It just depends on how you treat your, you know, you don't judge people for getting in touch with God if they're helping somebody. You know, I've gone through this for many years, and they'd say, well, that person doesn't know what they're talking about. But if they help them to change their life, are you kidding? Well, I think you better hush up and let them people do their work. Right? Let the people do their work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you said, this man knows certain things that might be helping people. Let him help them. Never stop something like that. Never stop it. People want to stop other people from doing their work with God, but they don't know what they're doing because God is always going to work with them and work through them. That Sid Roth show, I have watched it for years, and he has people on there that just do that. They get in touch with God through all kinds of ways, and there's nothing wrong with that. Just as long as they know that God is there with them. These people are very godly people. You know Sid Roth. I'm sure. Have you been watching the show for a long time?
Oh, many years. I've never seen it. I think, God, when it first came out, I think I remember seeing it.
Yeah, it's a good show.
That was like, it might not even been... Even before, I think it was out, but I remember it being a really long time ago.
Yeah.
But this new guy, I think his name's Tom Cook. And he was so amazing with the addresses and birthdays and everything.
Well, God, if you keep using a tool, okay, whatever kind of tool it is, whether it's angels or
pendulum,
astrology, God will work with you. When you got a tool, and he'll increase your powers. He'll increase your getting in touch with him. Your intuitive. He'll increase it. I've seen it with me because even if I don't have the cards right here, I still am looking at the cards. When I say tonight our card is nature, I remember what it said all about the nature card. I mean, all you have to do is you get that first learning inside about each card or what it means to you, what astrology means to you, and it'll mean something different to you than somebody else outside of that because you're in touch with God through your tool. I can't say it any better than that.
Right.
Don't you think that's the best way to say it? You get in touch with God through your tool. There you go. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're going to be able to get that money so that you could get straight out of your life, and God did provide that. Yeah, he did.
It'll take a while, though. I don't know how long it'll take. Will it take a couple of months?
It's only two more months. No. 2 more months. Okay?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not much longer. You're going to be okay. Your contract is already in the... subconscious. I can see the contract. Your paperwork's been done. You know, that's the hard part, getting it done.
I used to have just a home and stuff, and for this last 7 years, I've got out of my house right on, let's see, it was November 9th of 2012, and I lived in that house for 18 years. I really should have sold it, like, way before when the market went up, or even before it went up and got another house, because a girl killed herself there, so the cow's kind of cursed and stuff. But, you know, but this last 7 years, so I kind of wanted to move, but it almost seems like, well, I should have stayed there, but it's been 7 years and stuff, and I've lived all around. I got stuck in Barstow for 3 years, and I probably don't know about Barstow, but it's in the desert. And then I've been, you know, all living around and renting rooms and motels and stuff. So rented a room for 6 months with this really rich lawyer, and they weren't Christian, though. They didn't really want to hear about Jesus or any kind of Bible or anything like that. And it feels good to move back into my brother's house, and he's working out of state right now, so I'm kind of watching the place until his wife comes back from China. And I think she wants me to move or something, but she's kind of, she's accepted the Lord now, but I think she was raised communist, which is kind of scary, you know. You think about Korea and Vietnam and stuff, I guess we were all trying to stop communism, you know. And
well, you never know. Just don't look, you never know. I think it'll be all right. I think everything's going to be okay. Yeah. And whether somebody claims to be a Christian, that's another story.
Yeah,
okay.
She's Chinese, so she doesn't speak very good English, so it's kind of like a Chinese social club. I went to them on Thanksgiving, and they all talked in Chinese, so I've had a hard time understanding there, you know, for a couple hours on Thanksgiving dinner, you know, they were talking all in Chinese, so.
Well, that sounds like an interesting dinner.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun to me. I live over there in the Orient for a year or so in Korea, so I enjoy those people. They're funny. Yeah. They're real funny when they try to speak English, but it's real funny when they listen to me try to speak, you know, their language. But it sounds like to me everything's going very well with you. Let's look at that. Yeah. Let's leave it that on the table. Let's see it all come fruitful for you. And everything come from that contract, you're going to get a nice place to live, and a business area is going to boom again, and you did all the right things, and your contract has been approved. Okay?
Do you think I'll move back down to Southern California, or do you think I'll stay here?
Yeah,
in
I think
California
you're
going to
move again. Yeah, I do.
Maybe move. Yeah, well, if I get so much money that,
you will. Everything's going to work out. Okay?
All right.
You got my approval on it, okay? Thank
well,
you, Nathaniel.
You
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, it's a wonderful world when we know that things are working out for us. Plant yourself by the stream of life.
Austin Center for Spiritual Living presents Plant Yourself by the Stream of Life, a talk given by Reverend Dr. Richard Imprescia on Sunday, February 10th, 2013.
It's so wonderful to be here together today. It's there seems to be kind of a nice energy that begins to build and multiply and amplify, and I'm delighted to be here. A number of years ago, when I was a young man, not too long out of the Navy, I was going to college. This is back about 1955, I guess, yes. I was working one summer during the vacation period of time in a little town just north of Santa Cruz, California. I born and raised in California. And the town was called Felton, right next to, the Boulder Creek, where my folks were building a little summer home. And I was working during the week. The whole family would come down and we'd work on the house on the weekends. But I was working during the week at a lodge in Felton called the Brookdale Lodge. And this was an interesting, wonderful, beautiful, inspiring place to be. Because there was a little brook, literally, that came off of the mountain there. And it would flow down into the San Lorenzo River. This is, as I say, about 12 or 14 miles north of Santa Cruz. And the hotel was built over the brook. And the restaurant, the brook flowed right through the restaurant. And it was on a pretty steep hill, and it was terraced. So either side of this little brook, there were these terraces with tables, and you can imagine it, and all the plants that were growing in there, because it was an immense expanse of space. And then beyond this, up in little balconies, they had railings going around, and there were rooms all over there. People could come out and look down at the brook. Anyway, I was washing dishes, and I was bussing tables, and I was cleaning floors, and I was doing anything that they would ask me to do. And I worked the night shift on occasion, and when I did, I would stick around afterwards when things really quieted down just before they began to close, and I'd go out and I'd sit at one of those tables. I'd just sit there and just kind of imbibe in that sense of the flowing water. You know, to me it was like, and I wouldn't have articulated it at that time in this way, but it was like the sense of spirit, the spirit of life, the constant source of strength and refreshment to me. And it was just a wonderful place to be. Unfortunately, a few years after that, it burned down, and I don't know if they ever went back and rebuilt it. But I'll always remember that, and I'll always remember the serenity of it and that sense of being near the water, hearing it and watching it. I think there's something that happens to the ions in the air with moving water that affects us also. And there have been some studies done about that. But as I talk about this, it reminded me of a passage in the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament where Jeremiah says, "One who puts his trust in God is like a tree planted near water." And he goes on to explain, it's like you're planted near water, you're always connected with your source, regardless of what the environment around you looks like or what is happening. If you're planted near the water, you'll always be able to experience your connection with that source. And I thought, what a metaphor for our life. If we can secure ourselves in a place in consciousness where we sense that connection, it can open us to incredible experiences of life. A little later on, Jeremiah goes on and he says this. He says, "But one who turns away is like a bush in the desert on salty ground. No life, no growth." And I think many of us can relate to that from some of the experiences, the ups and downs that we've had in our life. And we tend to forget that there is that presence. And we tend to be constantly seeking to experience that presence. And I can't help but remember this quotation. Well, I remember it because I wrote it down, actually, from Meister Eckhart, the great 13th century mystic, a Dominican priest, incredible influence on a lot of people. I mean, he was so influential that people wanted to crucify him, wanted to kill him and burn him at the stake, some of the authorities, but they couldn't. He was just too popular with everybody else. But this is one of the things that he wrote. He said, "We don't have to seek the presence. We are the very presence of God." Can you imagine in those days to be able to have that kind of insight? But these mystical people, these people who are connected with their source, who have planted their life by the stream, have intuitively known through ages past about this. They sense it, they feel it, and they may not have even been able to articulate it. There is a thirst for life within every one of us. There is a hunger. I was listening to On Being. Any of you heard? I've mentioned her before. Krista Tippett on Sunday morning. She comes on at 6 o'clock at KUT on NPR, and she interviews people. And she was interviewing this morning Vincent Harding, a great civil rights activist back in the 50s, and he was talking about this same thing, and I thought, oh, wow, I should have taped it. I could have gone online and taken it off, I guess, and brought it here. And he was talking about the same thing. He said there's something in people that is an urge, there is a drive that's constantly seeking to get down below the superficial level of things and express And so this is, of course, is what Martin Luther King was doing. Martin Luther King just wasn't an activist out there to try to make something happen. He was bringing a message. And this fellow, this Vincent Harding, happened to be one of the many speech writers for Martin Luther King and knew him. Anyway, fascinating thing. And you can go online, look up Krista Tippett, and listen to this interview. It was inspirational to me. And to see that those ideas are the ones that continue to come up for us, that there is an urge, a thirst, an inner knowing that drives us to seek that connection, or the really the awareness of the connection that already exists. And it goes far beyond any physical drives that we have, any of the physical urges for the things and the creature comforts of life. And those are important. I like them. I like nice things. But there's something that goes beyond that. Ultimately, this deeper hunger is for meaning or a sense of purpose. What it really is for a fulfillment that can only come as a result of that spiritual, inner spiritual pressure that's knocking on the doors of our consciousness continually to experience what has been referred to in Christian mystical circles as the Christ. And it's not the man Jesus out there they're talking about. As revered as he is, it is a presence. It's the same thing that the Hindus refer to as the Atman. The Atman means the God within. And you find in the Jewish philosophy talk often of the Immanuel, which is slightly different. It's about God with us. But it's the same idea. God is more than with us. God is within us. And God is expressing as us. Very hard concept for people to accept. Easy to understand what I'm saying, but to accept is difficult. But this is one of the things that we are constantly working toward in this teaching. As a matter of fact, all spiritual teachings are ultimately aimed at revealing that, and it doesn't matter how dogmatic, how fundamental they are. Somehow or another, if you get back far enough and look at it, they are the avenues through which people begin to sense this truth about themselves. And yet we come along and we cover it up with all kinds of concepts and ideas that limit our ability to be able to experience ourselves and sometimes have devastating effects in our lives. I had a friend, name was Bob, and this was years ago. This was back in the latter 60s or 70s. I was going to a religious science church at the time, and so was Bob, and I got to know him very, very well. Bob was a very sophisticated person. He was charming. He was intelligent. He was talented. He was pretty well off. He came from a well-established family. His father was a U.S. senator from one of the western states, and he always had that on his shoulder to be able to perform to satisfy Dad and his mom, who was very matriarchal person, and he never seemed to quite be able to accomplish what he wanted to. And yet, this was a guy that did wonderful things in his life. I mean, he had adventures coming out of his ears, and we would sit and we would listen to him talk about the botanical survey. He was a paleobotanist, trained, educated at the University of California, and he, I remember him talking about being in the Andes of Peru and Chile, where they were doing a botanical survey, and he would tell us about these strange things that were flying around in the air, and he was absolutely convinced that aliens from outer space had an airport or a space base in for their flying saucers in Peru. And of course, we were just enthralled by listening to these stories. I'm a skeptic, and I don't know about that sort of stuff, but I loved to listen to him talk about it, and he was so very serious about it. He was a wonderful, wonderful person, and he committed suicide. About 1970, he killed himself. And you know, after he was gone, he didn't have any heirs, and we were his friends, and we being a few in the center that I belonged to at the time, we were going through his things, and we found journals and letters and other writings, things scattered about, and we realized that he struggled with a particular thing in his life, all his life. You got to remember when he was born. He was born a little bit before the beginning of the last century, in the late 1890s, and the kinds of biases and prejudices that were around the time. And we realize, after reading his stuff, that he was gay. And this was such a shameful thing for him, especially in light of what he had to do to try to cover this up. And he created such concepts in his own mind that limited his ability to be able to feel that connection by being planted next to a stream, you know, by feeling that the flow of the source into his life, that it could expand him into a greater sense of who he was and what he was here for. He gave so much to so many of us, and yet he couldn't open himself to receive of the very thing that somehow or another he was able to transmit to us. And, you know, I after reading so much of his stuff, I know that he saw life, and I heard him say this. He saw life as a sham, a pretense. He saw the world as a chaotic, purposeless, painful, suffering experience. He was alone. He was cut off. And that's because he was unaware, or not as aware as he could have been, of this source, of the source of everything in him that could express who he really was. There's a wonderful story, a true story, about a little boy sitting at the dinner table, and he was a pistol. He had one of those mouths that wouldn't stop, and he was going on, and his father said, "Now, son, I want you to stop that. If you do that one more time, I'm going to send you to the attic without your supper for you to stay there overnight." And you know what happened, of course. Yappity yappity, it started up again. And he says, "Okay." He handed him a little glass of water and a piece of bread. And he says, "Go to the attic." And so the boy goes off to the attic. And the father sits there a while and begins to relent. And his wife, the mother, sees him relenting. And she says, "Now, John, you can't turn yourself around on this. You sent him to the attic. You've established this. You've got to follow through with this. Otherwise, you're going to spoil everything. You're going to undo what you're trying to do with this child. There's nothing you can do." And the man sat there and thought about it a moment. And he said, "Yes, there is." And he reached over and picked up a glass of water, got a piece of bread, and he went to the attic. And he sat and held his son through the whole night. And I think of that, and to me it's a metaphor for our connection with our source. You see, the man, he was wise. He was wise enough to know that a child could go without his supper. He could go by having to retreat into the attic, but he couldn't go without his father's love to be able to sense that eternal connection, if you will, with his father. And this is a metaphor, I believe, for us. We can do with a lot of things in life, but not without the awareness of the love and the support of the source that is always there for us. And we have it in us to make that connect. No, not to make the connection. We don't have to make the connection. As Meister Eckhart says, we are the presence of God. We don't have to seek the presence. It's already there. All we have to do is awaken to it. And the choice is ours.
So tonight's card is about nature, getting back to nature, or maybe bringing nature alive in us. Like he was saying, that we seek the presence of God, but the presence of God is with us always. nature's that way too. We are growing. We need these things. We need the sun. We need the wind. We need the water. We need all these elements. And we are nature in itself. But yet we can die. One part of us, maybe we're not getting enough sun. Maybe we're not getting enough water. I mean, these are things that we need to stay alive. So we need to know that we are God, and we're not just the presence of it. We actually have the God source.
Soul card reading shows, messages with the Holy Spirit, not an accident. I know you out there somewhere. Give me a call. 347-838-8452. Here's the Moody Blues. I know you're out there somewhere.
And I've left behind the empty streets that once inspired my life. And the strength of the emotion is like thunder.
So we got some callers here. Let's see what we can do. Let's see here. 510. 510.
Hello.
What's with you tonight? What's going on with you?
Yes, hi. My name is Camille. And
okay.
I'm concerned about my romantic relationship. His name's Josh, and we've been since November of 2018. Thank you. Yeah, it is a gorgeous name. But it's been since November 2018, and we've grown distant. And
yeah.
I'm concerned. Yeah. How
yeah.
will this evolve this year?
I like your word concerned. It's not that you're worried, but, you know, concerned is the same thing. You know, I used to do that too. Change the word around, it sounds better, but it's still that you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. You kind of are doing that, and people that put the pressure on their self, what they do is they sabotage sometimes. So I want to tell you, you laughing? Yeah, I think you're sabotaging some of your relationships.
Oh.
You got to watch that.
Okay.
I mean, you get them started, and they're going along real good, and then all of a sudden you start doubting that it really is the relationship, doubting that, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't want to doubt. I'd rather think good energy right now here. This is a relationship. It's going to move. It's going to grow. I'll tell you why. There's a family involvement that you kind of overlooked here a little bit. Do you feel like you're very close to his family?
I know his family. Yeah, we are not buddy, but I know how much he deeply cares for them. I know I have a sense of what's going on.
Then I would say that you got points in your favor. And that this is a relationship that you're really working on, and this is one that you're not going to sabotage, and this is the one that's going to work for you. And I gave you 3 months, and I see it all hooking up together. What do you think about that?
I totally will accept that. You know, I accept
okay.
that. And I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then don't doubt yourself. You know, most of your concern is with yourself. You know, you keep saying to yourself, well, you know, all those doubts that you come up with, I don't even want to talk about them. I just know that there's doubts coming out. And that's the sabotage part of being concerned. Okay? Okay to be concerned, but okay not to sabotage. Got that one?
Yeah, I get it.
It's a difference. The difference.
Yeah.
Because most people that are concerned and worried, they just sabotage. And I think you've gone long enough with this relationship because of the families that are involved that you're okay. Right. Everything is right on track. Okay? So I appreciate you calling in. It looks really good here in 3 months.
You.
Okay?
Okay, thank you so much. Okay.
Okay, bye-bye. Honey. Thank you very much for calling in. Okay. 478, what's going on with you tonight? What can we look at?
Oh, nothing. What do you pick up on?
Well, right now, it's kind of like fairyland. I don't know, fairyland. You got this thing going on. I think that you want to be with the fairies. I think you belong in nature with the fairies, and my card tonight is nature. And I don't know, have you seen them? Have you seen the fairies ever since you were a child? Little people?
I've never seen fairies.
Are you looking for them?
No.
Munchkins.
Munchkins? What do you call them?
Yeah, where did you see
midgets.
Them?
But
where did you see them?
People. They're mean.
You did?
Dream. They're, no, those munchkin guys are mean. Those trolls or whatever.
Are they mean?
yeah, they are mean. They're very mean. But I've never seen a fairy. But, yeah, I would like to be
well,
a nature.
I'll tell you what you got going on here. You're a dreamer, and you dream a lot, and you mentioned that. But you're dreaming that you want to change things, and that's another thing. And I see you as a person who will change things, but not today. It's like you're waiting for something. You're always waiting for something to happen. Like, well, Brenda, if I make money, you know, you say, if I make $1 million or whatever, then I will make changes. And I'm here to tell you that you can make changes without that, without saying, I need $1 million to make changes. What do you think about that? I think you could do it without all the money, with all the glory and all the fame. I think you're going to be a changer. And I think that you're going to do it this year. And I think you made your mind up to it. And no matter what kind of job you have, you're just going to go in there and you're just going to make the money. Because you have fairies all around you. And these are good fairies, too. They're watching you as you sleep at night. That's why you have such beautiful dreams. What do you think about that? A little bit of fairy dust here?
That's interesting. Yeah, usually they're angels. I've never seen a fairy, though. No.
Well, you
okay,
know, it's hard to detect the difference. Angels and fairies look a lot alike. They do.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
Yeah, I do. Well, they both have the wings, you know. They both have the wings and the characteristics and everything, and they both have all that fairy dust around them, all that beautiful, beautiful fairy dust. And I give you a whole bag of it right now. Here it is. It's yours.
Okay. Thank you.
Hold on.
I need it.
Yeah, when you get a hold of it, just sprinkle it around. Anytime you see a need, just go ahead, pull that fairy dust out, honey, and make your dreams come true. And I hate to be so elusive about this, but tonight I just want to tell you, you're my person all about nature tonight. You walk in nature. You take your shoes off, don't
do.
You? You love the water.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you're a little
I
baby,
do.
Little nature baby. That's what you are. So just remember, here's a bag of fairy dust just for you to sprinkle on some of these things that you want. Lay your wishes out. Lay your wishes out if you want to. Write them down or just put them up in the air over your head and just automatically, imaginatively, using your intuitive, sprinkle the fairy dust because you have it. And I just told you that that's what you're all about. You're about my fairies and getting them all to work for you. And if you want to think they're angels, honey, they are. They're all angels.
Yes,
everything
they are.
Around you is angels and fairies, okay?
Okay.
All right. You like that?
Thank you.
I like it.
Yeah, that was cute.
Yeah, you're welcome, honey. Thanks for calling in tonight.
All right. All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
My little fairy girl. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay.
I like her little laugh. Yeah, she's definitely got the angels. Okay, 780, what's going on with you tonight?
Hey, Brenda. Gratitude blessings for you.
Hey.
2020. Glad to talk
to you.
Yeah,
how you doing there? How many lights are you talking about? How many lights? Lots of lights?
Lots of lights.
Yeah, are you part of those lights? Thousand lights, points of lights?
I don't know. Yeah, for 2020, yeah, sure.
I think you are.
Yeah.
So you're looking at something here. It looks like a relationship to me. I want to point a light on it. It sounds like the best one you've ever had. Now, are you recognizing that?
No, I've got something else going on, but I haven't. No, I haven't looked at relationships.
You haven't noticed it's a good relationship?
No, I don't know. Just,
well, look around
a little bit
you.
Of a loner. Yeah?
Well, you can be a loner all you want, but they kind of are, you know, coming into your life and holding on to you, and they're supporting you, and they're talking to you, and that's a relationship that you can't beat. And it's going to be the best one. You can be alone if you want to, but they're moving in. Just want to tell you, you called a psychic. That's what I do.
I wonder if it's my mom and my best friend right now.
I'm thinking, would you say best friend? Yes.
Yeah, my good friend, yeah.
Yep, I think you better look at it because it's really lit up. Showing me to tell you that this is a time for you to have appreciation and gratitude because somebody really cares about you. Someone has been talking about you and really encouraging you, and that you can't beat that. That's worth every bit of money that you ever want to put out there, girl. Got me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
And I don't care what you think as far as, like, it's impossible. If you want to doubt it, you can doubt it all you want because they're going to remove the doubt. And that's what I'm here for. You called me, and I'm going to remove that doubt. And we got two people right now removing the doubt. You got somebody who really cares about you. And it's about time, right? It's about time.
It's about right time, yeah.
Yep, about time. Okay, so we opened it up. All we have to do is have that agreement, come into agreement, and have all that going on between you and me, and we got it made. So you let me know, give me a call back. It looks really, really good.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thanks so much for your energy. Thanks so much for your energy, Brenda. Thank you.
Well, I got energy enough to tell you. That's all I need. I got energy enough to agree with you and tell you. You're a lost soul sometimes, and you've been through hell and high water. I know that. And every time I've ever talked to you, you had a story. So let's just remove that old story, and let's plug in this new story about how wonderful it is to have a best friend who really cares about you. Okay? It's a new story, right?
Okay.
So we did it.
Thank you.
So I appreciate you calling in tonight, okay?
You're welcome, Brenda. Nice to talk to you.
Okay, honey. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We all can have a new story. We just have to plug it in. We always play that old story. I don't know why we do that. Anyway, tonight's card is nature telling you that there's time in the bottle right now for you tonight to look at how nature, how you're connected to the water, to the air, to the earth, to all the elements, and that all you have to do is breathe.
If I could show time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find out. I've looked around enough to know you're the one I want to go to time with. If I had a box just for wishes and dreams that had never come true, the box would be empty except for the memory of how they were answered by you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things I wanted to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know you're the one I want to go.
Remember, I'll be around. And I know, like a soldier.